The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we've got a fun show for you today. We have a young man with us named Anton Ivanov. He is a real estate investor and entrepreneur with a 35-unit rental portfolio spread across four states. His portfolio generates $10,000-plus in monthly passive cash flow and is a cornerstone of his plans to retire early at age 35. He is also the founder of DealCheck, the leading real estate analyst software used by over 50,000 investors and agents to quickly analyze and compare investment properties. Well, Anton, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Thanks, Bill. It's great to be here, and thanks for having me on the show.
Well, it's great having you here. I saw your plans in the bio. It mentioned by the time you reach age 35. Well, how old are you now?
I am 31.
31. Okay, so 4 years to make your goal. Do you think you're going to do it?
I think me and my wife are right on track. So
awesome.
We're maybe even get there a little sooner than we expected.
I love to hear that. That's great. Whereabouts do you live? What part of the country?
I currently live in San Diego, but actually originally from Moscow, Russia. So I was born there in the late 80s, grew up there, and then immigrated to the United States with my family when I was 15, so right around high school age.
Wow. Well, tell us your story. I'd love to hear how you came from Russia over to the U.S. and how you got interested in real estate investing.
Sure. So, like I said, came to Russia when I was a teenager. That was obviously quite a big change with the adjustments in culture and language and that sort of thing. And believe it or not, I actually joined the U.S. Military, the Navy specifically, right after high school.
Wow.
Right. So kind of went from Russia to U.S. military. Not the usual, life trajectory, if you would, but don't have any regrets. I served 6 years active duty. Most of it was actually spent in Japan, out there forward deployed on some Navy ships. You know, it was a different time than where I'm at now, but it definitely helped me grow up and kind of set my goals for later in life and figure out what I wanted to do. Now, unfortunately, while I was in the service, right around 2008, 2009, my parents passed away. I actually got a condo that they owned and lived in San Diego. So that was my first property, so to speak. I guess I could say I became an accidental landlord. At first I thought about selling it. I was young. I was in Japan, so hundreds, thousands of miles away. Didn't have any experience with rental properties or property management or anything. So it was a little bit scary, but I've talked to a few friends and they convinced me, well, you know, why don't you just keep this property and rent it out and see how it goes? So that's what I actually did. And that became my first rental property, if you will.
Now, did you buy another place or did you rent a house also in the San Diego area?
So that was, I got that property again. It was around 08, 09. I was still in Japan with the Navy, so I didn't have any other properties at the time. I kept it as a rental for a number of years until actually 2013, when I got out of the service and moved back to San Diego from Japan and kind of started transitioning into a civilian career. Right around that time is when I became more interested in real estate. You know, I already had this one property. It was generating little cash flow. It was San Diego market, and it's hard to find cash flowing properties here. But it did pique my interest, and I started looking for more properties to buy locally. And ended up, after about 6 to 8 months of searching, bought a duplex that I guess you can say I house hacked with my wife. We did the whole live in one of the units, rent out the other, did quite a bit of work on the place and really got to know properties more in person, you know, how to go through the escrow process, purchase process, finding deals, rehab, property management, all of those things. And I'd like to think that that was actually my first real estate deal, you know, not counting this other property I inherited, but this one, the duplex that we house hacked, that one I went from start to finish basically on. And that kind of started my real estate investing journey, if you would.
Great. Well, first off, I want to thank you for your service. That's awesome that, man, you jumped right in and helped us in the military. That's awesome. When you got out of the military, though, did you jump right into real estate or did you have another day job? What were you doing? I mean, was real estate the full-time deal to start off?
No. And actually, it's still not even today, even though we have quite a bit of cash flow. You know, I've always had, this goal to reach 50 units. But by the time we were 40, me and my wife, that was my original goal. I've read some people doing kind of real estate full time, but for me, it's always been an investing experience. You know, I wanted to buy cash flowing properties that generate me good passive income, but I knew that to build my portfolio quickly, I needed basically money for the down payments to buy more and more properties. And I specifically made a choice not to do real estate full time, but instead really focus on having a high paying career. I actually went from, you know, being active duty in the military with probably a, 30,000-40,000 annual salary to in the last few years transitioning to being a full-time software engineer with, six-figure plus salary. While doing that, me and my wife had an extremely high savings rate, about 60-70% on average. And I think that played a critical role in allowing us to grow our portfolio so quickly. So real estate has always been, investing and focused on growth all this time. And we used our day jobs, if you would, and a high savings rate to help us grow our portfolio quickly.
That's a great strategy. Did you take advantage of the VA loan at all to get your first property?
We did. So the duplex that we house hacked, we did buy it on a VA loan. I didn't do the 0% down payment. I put, I believe it was 8% to get a little equity in the deal. And increase the cash flow. But it's a great program, similar to the FHA program available to non-service members, where you can buy a property, you know, if you're going to live there with a very low down payment. So definitely helped us buy, you know, a duplex here in San Diego, which is a very expensive market normally.
Well, now, are you only buying in California and specifically San Diego area?
No. So actually, after that first duplex and, you know, kind of a few months later when we were ready to buy more, I started learning more about different markets across the states and kind of figured out that San Diego and probably the whole California is not really where I want to invest, specifically because I was interested more in cash flow. And, you know, California with the really high prices and the relatively not so high rents, it's very difficult to find a cash flowing property. So actually, after that duplex, I started looking out of state, specifically at markets that you know, had strong cash flow, but at the same time had good economic population and job growth and historical numbers that would kind of drive prices up. So kind of a combination between, you know, very cyclical, very high price markets like California. I didn't really like very discounted, super high cash flow markets like maybe Ohio. I just didn't feel like the economy was there to support a good rental market for many years to come. But I focused in the middle, kind of your Atlanta, Texas, you know, Kansas City. Those are cities that are still doing really well financially, and they have an influx of population and a strong rental pool. But the prices there are much lower and the cash flow is much higher. So I focused out of state, and actually my next four properties, me and my wife, we bought via the turnkey model. So we bought one turnkey single-family home in Atlanta, and we bought three turnkey single-family homes in Birmingham. And that was kind of my first foray into out-of-state investing through the turnkey model, which, you know, at the time felt kind of less risk for me, a little more safety net because I didn't have contacts in those places. I didn't, you know, really have a team, if you would, and doing the turnkey model kind of allowed me to bypass a lot of the groundwork, like finding deals, rehabbing them, you know, at an expense of a little higher purchase price. But over time, the rents went up, prices went up, and, you know, I have no regrets with purchasing those deals. They're cash flowing very well now.
That's great. Well, we had a couple of questions here. One, you know, somewhere in there you learned, you know, how to be a software engineer, and then later on, how'd you get educated on the real estate end?
The software engineering part, I'm mostly self-taught. So I did.
Really? Wow.
Right. I did finish a bachelor's degree, but it wasn't quite software engineering. It was in IT, so information technology. So I did that online while I was in the military out there in Japan. There's, you know, colleges where you can do programs basically 100% online. But then really when I got back, I, you know, kind of looked at where I want to be career-wise. And, you know, I've done a few classes on software engineering, web development, and I really like that. So I want to say I'm mostly self-taught. You know, I didn't have a formal education. I focus more on kind of online courses and actually doing some side projects myself, and use that to build my resume and eventually get hired as a full-time software engineer.
Yeah, that's that shows your initiative, which makes me think that you're gonna have no problem reaching your real estate goals. that's fantastic. How about real estate investing? Did you just start reading and doing research online? How did you educate yourself there?
Right. So that one was more self-teaching. I wouldn't say I have a single book or website other than probably BiggerPockets that I'm sure you and many of your listeners know. And I've probably spent about 6 to 8 months before we bought our first duplex, kind of building the knowledge foundation that I felt, you know, gave me the comfort to start looking for our first property. So a lot of reading, obviously online, a few books, And also I tried to network with some local investors and actually, you know, invite them for coffee and just talk to them about how they got where they are, what strategies they used. And I tried to kind of branch off and talk to some people who did flips and wholesaling and more traditional rental property investing, just to get a few different opinions on what is possible with real estate, because obviously there's many ways to make money in this industry. And eventually I decided that I really like buying kind of rental properties, specifically cash flowing rental properties. And then I set the goals and went after them.
Now, how did you find the people that you contacted for, you know, to meet with, to ask them about real estate investing?
I went to a few meetups of the local investment clubs. So San Diego has a couple. I'd say I'm a little socially awkward if I had to describe myself. So I didn't have great, you know, I did meet a few people there and eventually kind of went out with coffee on them after the meeting. But most of my network happened online, specifically in Bigger Pockets. So I've actually, you know, would read the forums on there for San Diego or other markets, notice somebody posting a lot and read their bio. They seem to have a kind of a lot more experience. And if they happen to live locally, I would literally invite them for coffee, you know, just reach out on Bigger Pockets. And I think everybody's mostly very friendly, and 9 times out of 10, they have no problem spending, you know, 30, 40 minutes with you and just talking about real estate.
Yeah, that's a great resource that we strongly recommend to our listeners. That you know, Bigger Pockets is one. You know, there's just a higher caliber of people. They're serious about what they're doing, and there's all levels from beginners to very experienced real estate investors. And so it's a kind of, you know, a non-threatening environment too. You know, they're really against, you know, anybody kind of promoting or selling their stuff there. And so it's a great place. I meet people all the time that are, you know, contact me to meet with me. And early on when I was trying to get educated in real estate investing, same thing. So that's great. That's great. How did you just, you know, happen upon real estate? Okay, you're a software developer. What was sort of your light bulb moment where you, you know, realized, oh, wow, real estate investing is really where I need to be?
Well, I, like I kind of described with my intro, I basically became an accidental landlord after my parents passed away and I got the condo. So, you know, I kept that for a number of years while I was still finishing my military service. And at the same time, I kind of had an equity, a stock portfolio, you know, 401k and IRA that I kept investing all through my early 20s. By the time I got out of the military, I kind of could compare the two a little bit. You know, I had this rental property that, even though the cash flow was little, it was still there. So I had some historical numbers on what my return could have been. And at the same time, I had an equity portfolio that I also tracked returns for, and I could compare the two. And I think right around the time, I, you know, realized that rental properties, while I wouldn't necessarily call them superior to other types of investing, they're definitely unique in the sense they can generate very strong cash flow all throughout you holding them, while at the same time appreciate in value. You know, a lot of the kind of equity and stock investments, they may grow in value, but they're probably not making you much money as far as cash flow in the meantime, unless perhaps you invest in very you know, kind of high dividend stocks. So that really kind of opened my eyes that this is an asset class that works really well for, you know, plans to early retirement and kind of replace your income with passive income, because it is, you know, if you buy the right properties at the right place, they could generate very solid income. And at the same time, they can deliver, you know, annualized returns kind of 20% plus. Very realistically, you know, at least 15% plus in many cases, where, you know, the stock market historically returns 6 to 8%. So it was more of a mathematical decision, I guess, for me. It just made more sense to, you know, start putting more money into rental properties, because I will be getting not only a higher return, but also actual cash flow, consistent cash flow that I could then retire on. And kind of, I guess, the third point of that, I'm a big believer in diversification. And I think kind of owning, you know, you're having your 401k and your IRA and some stocks or index funds there, and having real estate allows you to further diversify your portfolio. So if there's major crashes in one asset class, you're not as severely affected if you're kind of more spread out.
So today you have 35 units. Now, what does that consist of? Mostly single family, a combination, larger multifamily, smaller multifamilies?
So actually, after kind of a little backtracking, after me and my wife started diversifying out of state, and like I said, we started with those four turnkey properties. A few years after that, when we kind of started looking to buy more, I decided that, you know, I can probably at this point in my real estate investing journey build my own team in the local market and actually start buying, you know, better deals with some value add and to get higher cash flow. So we moved into the Kansas City market. I kind of reanalyzed the various markets around the states and really focused on that. And we built a local team, you know, of a few dozen people, ranging from brokers to agents to property managers and contractors. And we started buying specifically fourplexes. So now the bulk of our portfolio is centered in Kansas City. We own 28 out of our 35 units there. And the majority of those properties are fourplexes right now. And we're kind of looking to buy larger multifamily in the future, probably 10 to 20 unit buildings and complexes, just to help us scale faster and kind of make our management more efficient.
That's great. Kansas City it seems to be the anchor area for you, but you're still also in Atlanta, Texas, and
Atlanta and Birmingham and San Diego. Yeah, we don't own any property in Texas, but we still have all of, you know, the original duplex we bought in San Diego, the condo here that I got from my parents. Then we own four single family homes in Atlanta and Birmingham. And then the rest are basically fourplexes in Kansas City.
Gotcha. Well, what would you say? You've been doing this for a little while now, and in fact, you even started buying after the crash there. You look like you definitely earned your badge as a year of a real estate investor. What would you say your biggest mistake to date has been?
I guess I would say I'm pretty fortunate where I didn't make completely terrible mistakes, but I would say that it's a little cliche, but I sometimes wish I started earlier. Even though I kind of had my military service, I felt that I might have been able to start buying real estate more during that time, or kind of buy it faster when I first got back. And, so I guess lost time, if you would be my biggest regret if I had to name any. And really, because you kind of start seeing that compound interest growth and price appreciation and rent increases as you own property for longer and longer, and basically the longer you delay that, the kind of more difficult it would be to get a big snowball rolling, if you would. So even though I feel like I started pretty early, I think I could have started even earlier. I would encourage everybody listening to pull the trigger, if you would, sooner than later. I think far too many people get stuck in the whole analysis paralysis phase where they just, read a lot of information and never quite feel that they're prepared. And in my experience, the first deal I've done, the first property, I've actually went from start to finish, finding and purchasing it, owning it, renting it out. It taught me more about real estate investing than any of the reading I've done previously. Just that hands-on knowledge, that firsthand experience, it really cannot be replaced.
Yeah, that's what I believe. The real education starts after the purchase of that first property. I'm with you on that.
Right.
Really interesting. Well, don't feel bad, you know, about starting so late. And I started at 59. Okay. So, you know, you didn't start that late. You still got plenty of time here. You can do a lot of great things. So,
well, thank you.
Well, conversely, what would you say your biggest success has been in your real estate investing career?
I think the deals that we started doing in Kansas City with the multifamily kind of in the last 18 months or so, that's where I felt we've really started, you know, kind of growing our portfolio at a rapid pace and really getting very good value and very good returns on our capital. You know, we have the duplex here in San Diego, which is good now. And we have a few turnkey properties, single family homes in Atlanta and Birmingham. But, you know, and I have no regrets in buying them, but the kind of once I actually put in the work and the time to build our team and build a set of contractors to do rehabs and really started finding kind of more value add properties at very discounted prices, we really saw our you know, return on capital go up and our acquisition pace go up. So you know, everything kind of led up to that moment. I don't think that if I tried to do that right at the beginning, I would have been as successful. But so it was a more natural progression. But you know, I feel like in the last couple of years, my experience and kind of my know-how really started kicking in and allowed me to really grow our portfolio much quicker.
And how are you finding your properties primarily?
In Kansas City, they've actually all been off market. So the MLS there is fairly fairly dry. There's quite a few investors. So I bought a few of them in private transactions with the seller. Basically, the broker kind of set it up. You know, he was working with some sellers who had properties, and I was ready to buy them. And by kind of building a relationship with that broker, he basically went to me first and said, hey, you know, I have this seller with these properties. Do you want to buy them? And we came up with a agreement that we both liked. And then another batch of properties, I did a very small, very targeted direct mail campaign. So I've actually identified very specific areas where there were very similar multifamily buildings that I liked. And I sent out about 80 to 100 letters. And I've actually got 4 sales from that. So it was kind of a very different campaign. Most people, you know, send tens of thousands of mailers. I only sent a few, but I really personalized them with the actual offer price, picture of their house, name, property address, you know, handwritten letters, and that did really well. So all of my latest deals were off market because I think that's where most of the opportunity lies. You know, it's around kind of the nation. I see it's getting very hard to find deals off the MLS just because there's a lot of investors looking and not a lot of inventory.
Yeah, I got that. Well, our group of folks here that are listening, although we have a broad section, our target audience here for this show are people that are 50 plus in age. So these are people that are approaching retirement or already retired, and they're looking at real estate as a means to supplement their retirement plans. What would you say, you know, based on your experience, okay, these folks are starting later in life. They don't have the advantage that you would have and having those extra years there to really grow it over time. How would you advise them to get started?
Well, I think one advantage older folks have is, you know, I would imagine for the most part, they have some savings, you know, unlike maybe younger people who may not have any savings. So they probably have already some savings, which is crucial in helping you get started. And they probably have a, you know, some income, maybe, you know, higher income because they kind of worked at a career for quite a while. So hopefully they have built up to a point where they're, you know, have savings and they're generating some or decent income. And I think those are actually extremely important in helping you buy properties faster. You know, if you have initial savings, obviously you can buy several properties right off the bat. And then if you have that continuous income going and you really focus on having a high savings rate for a number of years, that can allow you to buy properties quickly. So I actually think a lot of the, you know, 50 and older people are in a fairly good position to buy rental properties, provided that they, you know, can make a decision to save money out of their income and maybe live frugally for a number of years to really allow them to buy some more rental properties. And I guess my second piece would be to really identify the markets and the properties that are cash flowing well. You know, I imagine for somebody approaching retirement, they would be more focused on buying properties that cash flow, and not every market in the United States will have that strong cash flow. So by, you know, really focusing on, you know, kind of markets that tend to have strong cash flow as opposed to maybe something like California or the Northeast where cash flow is very little, they can buy, you know, maybe 5-10 properties in just a few years. That will be a great supplement to their retirement income.
Great, great. Well, you're just going gangbusters. So you've got a great career. It sounds very lucrative. You and your wife both, and you've got this real estate portfolio that you're building up here. And you even developed an app, right? That evaluates software. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So actually, a few years ago, I was looking for a mobile calculator to run cash flow projections on rental property, something I could use on my phone, you know, while driving around, attending open houses, or just, you know, being away from my computer. And I didn't find anything that I particularly like, so I've actually built it. And it's called Deal Check, and it's basically a property analysis tool. Similar to the Bigger Pockets calculators with a few kind of extra features like importing data from the MLS and an offer calculator that can tell you what is the maximum purchase price you can offer on a house. So it's, you know, it started as a side project, and really in the last few years it grew tremendously in popularity and is now used by over 50,000 real estate investors and agents to analyze rental properties, flips, commercial buildings, multifamily buildings, and basically help you understand what the cash flow of a property will be and whether this will be a good investment or not. So you can use it on your Android or iOS device if you search for Deal Check on the Google Play Store or Apple Play Store. And we also have an online version that you can use on any computer. If you go to dealcheck.io, you can use it from anywhere in the world, and it will sync all of your data across your phone and your computer. So encourage everybody to check it out. It's, you know, it's free to use for the basic version, and I've had a lot of people reach out to me and say that it has really helped them understand the numbers on a property before buying it.
Yeah, that's great. And it works on your multis as well, huh?
Yep, it works on commercial properties, you know, residential multifamily properties. We've tried to make it as kind of as flexible as possible to allow you to really customize a deal with your financing and your purchase costs, expenses, income, rent roll, to give you an accurate analysis.
Anton, you are one industrious young man. I'll tell you, I don't know how you find the time to do this. You guys must not have kids yet, right?
We don't have kids. And that does really help.
Life does change when those little ones start coming out. But no, it's Guy, this is great. You have done really well for yourself, and I can see just a great future ahead for you. What do you see yourself going in terms of your business? You've got multiple businesses going on here. Where do you want to see yourself in maybe, you know, 10, 20 years down the road?
Well, actually, me and my wife are hoping to retire now by age 35. So that's just in about 4 to 5 years, you know, and I think our original goal of 50 properties we'll definitely be able to meet that in a few years and maybe even exceed it and go up to 65, maybe 75 units. And I guess by retire, I mean quit our full-time job. So we both still have full-time work that, you know, 9 to 5 that we go to. We hope to be able to leave that, which will give us freedom to, you know, travel and really enjoy some of these other activities that we've been planning. I'll probably keep still working on our real estate portfolio, maybe more in maintenance mode or pay down a lot of our debt to increase the cash flow, and probably still keep working on deal check at the time too. But the good thing with that is I can do that from anywhere and not be tied to, you know, having to go to a physical job somewhere all the time.
Well, you must have people helping you out, I would imagine, at least in tech support for your app. Are you doing this all by yourself?
No, DealCheck did start while I was doing it by myself, but now it grew. We're a team of five, so it's kind of an all-remote team, and I, you know, communicate them online. And yeah, we have other developers and customer support and marketing people. So it kind of grew into a startup, basically, and you know, we hope to continue growing it in the future.
Well, great. Well, we are at the portion near the end here of our interview, and gosh, it's just been a wealth of information. I can't thank you enough. This next section we have is called our Wrap It Up area, and this is where I ask you a series of quick questions that will allow our listeners to be able to tap into other resources that other people use, especially successful investors such as yourself. So if you are ready, I will go ahead and start asking you these quick questions here.
Let's do this.
All right. Favorite real estate book?
It's definitely the Millionaire Real Estate Investor by Keller. It's one of the books that I read at the beginning. I didn't read too many, but this one, while it's maybe not very practical, it gives you a very good overview of just how real estate works, how to grow a portfolio, you know, to 10, 20, 30 units. So I'd recommend it to everybody as kind of an introduction to real estate.
Great recommendation. Favorite business book?
I would have to say The 4-Hour Work Week. By Tim Ferriss. It's kind of a very unique style, you know, very different business approach, focusing on minimizing actually the time that you spend, and but maximizing your productivity at the same time. So if you're a single, maybe startup founder or a small business founder, I think this can really help you scale your business. I know it really helped me, you know, like you said, run so many different things, and people ask me, how do I have time for this? And a lot of the kind of the wisdom and the tricks from that book really helped me maximize my productivity in business and in other areas.
Great, great book. How about most valuable website for success other than your own?
It would definitely have to be BiggerPockets. We've mentioned it earlier. Hands down, the best online source of information and networking for real estate investors. You know, if you go on BiggerPockets, listen to their podcast, you know, maybe together with your podcast, and go through a few dozen episodes, connect on the forums. I think in a few months, you can have a very solid foundation of real estate knowledge that you can build upon.
Great. How about favorite app other than your own, of course?
I probably have to say I use Evernote the most. It's a note-taking app that's free. You know, has a lot of cool features like taking photos and of business cards and scannable documents. It really helps me stay organized. You know, I travel quite a bit, and if I have ideas or want to make some plans on the road, I kind of tend to use Evernote to basically organize my whole life around it. So I definitely recommend it.
Great. How about favorite quote?
I don't remember who first said it, but you know, there's a quote that goes that you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. I really, you know, that kind of message really strikes me as important with real estate, with business, with life, you know, with anything. For a while in my life, I was kind of afraid of taking risks, afraid of taking chances. You know, just was generally a risk-averse person. And at one point I realized that, you know, I'm just basically missing opportunities. And chances are it's better to take a shot, take the chance, take the opportunity, maybe mess it up a little bit, or maybe even mess it up completely, than just sit on the sidelines. Because the experience of you going after something, even if you don't quite succeed on the first try, will be invaluable to help you down the road, and it will just basically prepare you for being successful later down the road. And you know, if you just kind of wait and wait and not do anything, you're missing out not only on potential chances of success, but also on the experience.
Excellent quote, excellent advice there. Well, our final question in our wrap it up session here is, if there was something cataclysmic that happened that you basically lost everything, all your assets, cars, everything, and you only had $1,000 in cash, what would you do with that $1,000 to rebuild your business?
You know, honestly, probably the first thing I would do is I would go and get a job. And this may not be exactly the answer you're looking for, but kind of circling back on what I said earlier, I feel that having that income and an ability to save it absolutely critical to growing a real estate portfolio and buying more property. So, you know, if I was starting over, I would definitely first make sure I have a job, a stable financial situation, and start saving money to allow me to buy properties. But other than that, I would probably do exactly what I did, through my journey, which is start with one house, you know, get that job, take that $1,000, spend a few months or a few years saving for the down payment, and buy that first property, then buy the second property, and then start get the snowball going that eventually will allow you to build a much greater portfolio.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of folks here that really want to find out more about you and what you do and about Deal Check too. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
I like connecting with people in bigger pockets. So, if you search for Anton Ivanov on there, I think I'm the only one with that name. And please reach out to me, send me a colleague request on there, and I'd love to chat. And if you do need to email me directly, you can reach me at anton@dealcheck.io. So that's my direct email. And if you prefer that way of communication, I'd be happy to talk to any of you.
Great, great. Well, Anton, it has been awesome having you on. Great information. You've really taken an excellent approach. I think our listeners are going to get a lot out of this interview. Well, but you're not done yet. Okay. And if you've listened to this show before, you know what's next, right? This is where we close out. Our guest gives us their best sort of hound dog howl. Now I've been to Russia. I know Russia actually has a lot of wolves. Okay.
It does.
Yeah. I guess you could use a wolf howl. We'll let that go too. So either way, give us your best howl that you can do here to close us out today.
I'm going to do my best. Oh, oh, oh.
All right. That was excellent. Thank you very much, Anton, for being on here.
Thank you for inviting me, Bill. Had a great time and looking forward to listening to more of your podcast episodes in the future. Keep up the great work.
Well, you bet. And hey, you're in San Diego. I'm in South County, Orange County. I'm going to contact you maybe through bigger pockets here and see if we can set up coffee. I'd love to just chat with you. I think it'd be great.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. You bet. And also, I want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us today. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. Please take note, everything we presented here today, everything that Anton spoke about is in our show notes at the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog, and look for the episode with Anton Ivanov. Well, that's it for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.